right. We're going to have a little fun tonight. Got to have some fun, right? This morning. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man, he falleth seven times, and he rises up again. But the wicked fall into mischief." Father, we pray for utterance. We pray for encouragement for people. They're going through so much right now. Everybody's facing something. We just pray for encouragement today that people would have hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Give us hope. Something we can control, which is our attitude and choosing to rise up again if we've fallen. We thank you, Lord, for helping us endure to the end. And everyone said amen?
Amen.
Now in Proverbs 24, we just quoted that word fall. For a just man, he falls seven times, but he rises up again. And we've all fallen. We've all done things. You look back through your life, you go, how did I ever make it through that? Or will I ever make it through this, right? But fall in the Hebrew can mean you fall down, you experience disasters, tragedy, or ruin. But to rise again means you overcome adversity. And there's something a lot about overcomers in the book of Revelation. We are to overcome, right? So no matter what happens to us, what we've been through, and I'm going to do a couple illustrations, we got to rise again. There's times that we feel broken. There's times we feel hurt. There's times we feel wounded, devastated. It seems like people are dying left and right. All of us know people that it's like, whoa, in the last year or even 2 years, we're seeing things we've never experienced before on the earth as far as people dying, people just going through stuff, and now financial stuff. And it seems like we're being taxed on everything. Have you noticed taxation on, if you go to a restaurant, this tax, that tax, which we kind of have talked before about the new system coming into being, and I'm not going to talk about that today. Kind of taking a little break from that. Sometimes we just need to hear some other things, do other things, and we need to rise again to overcome this. And how do we overcome it? Well, we keep our faith in Christ. And not in these evangelical preachers, not in some of these mega churches, not in all this stuff you see. We got to get back to our faith in the Lord, right? He's the author and finisher of our faith. We have to stop looking to other men for answers. We got to get back into our Bible, make sure that what we're being preached is in the Bible, because so many false teachers are out there twisting scriptures, and a lot of us have come from those kind of things. So we got to rise up. Overcome this adversity, because this world is a battleground. It's not a playground. And the enemy wants to steal our very life. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Part of that destruction, John 10:10, actually is about false prophets. They come to steal. They come to steal your money. They come to destroy your faith, try to get you, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, decree, declare, do all these different things, follow all the formulas. And if it's not working, it's still your fault. You have unforgiveness. There's some reason why their formulas aren't working, and it's your fault. That's religion, right? So seven times is a symbol of completeness. So when you fall, you rise again. God gives us a new beginning. And there's many times that we have a choice. Do I want to get up again? Do I want to endure? Sometimes self-pity comes. Sometimes we get wounded. Sometimes we're down for a little while. But the righteous man rises again because God's with him. And the devil tries and tries and tries to get us to quit, but God gives us strength to go on. So the setbacks we all have aren't going to keep us down. If we have the Lord on our side, we're going to rise again. Again, because God is on their side with his direction and his endurance, we rise because the godly can expect trouble in this world. And he says that if the world hated you, if it hated me, it's going to hate you, right? We were taught that Christianity is popular and everyone's going to love you. And that was not the real Bible. That was a false gospel, false Jesus. But the godly can expect trouble, hardships in life, losses, trials, attacks of the enemy. And why is that? Because he's the God of this world. And he doesn't want you to walk with the Lord. And that's why I think so many times he gets us to doubt God. Like, why did this happen? How come I didn't get this answered? Always doubting. And we just have to get back to the simplicity of a little child. And there's some questions we're not going to get answered, really. We just have to leave the secret things do belong to the Lord. Now in Psalms 91, verse 14, he promised to be with us in our trouble and deliver us and to honor us. Psalms 40, verse 2, he lifts us out of the mud and the mire and he sets our feet on solid ground. Think about the horrible pit that you came out of when you got saved. We came to the end of ourselves for some reason. We knew we needed a Savior, and we have to keep that simple dependency on the Lord. And we make many mistakes in this walk of faith, but God gives us that desire to get up again. And then when we get up, we have a new beginning. And sometimes we need a new beginning. And the path that we were on or the people we were connected to weren't who we thought they were. This happened a lot to a lot of us. The pastor we thought was a narcissistic pastor, abused the sheep. And sometimes you have to leave those hurtful situations and doesn't seem like you'll ever get over it because you've been abused by narcissistic pastors. It's all about them. It's not about the people. And now we have narcissistic politicians and they're not for the people. We're seeing that they're really not doing things for the people. Now they're following the sustainable agendas, which we've been talking about for a long time. So I want to do a little illustration. When some people face failure, disappointment, or crisis, a death of a loved one, suffering, betrayal, I could go on, narcissistic people, they're like egg people. And I brought my little illustration here. Some people are like egg people. So when they go through something, I know the price of eggs, right? So when they go through something, yep, they get crushed, they get shattered, they get broken, they don't want to rise again. Some people have been hurt in relationships by marriages or by churches, and they're just like this egg. They're splattered, they're broken. And some people choose not to get up again. Don't let that be you. We all could say we give up on something, right? But God wants us to rise again. Learn the lessons we needed to. Why did we allow ourselves to open up the door to the wrong people? Sometimes it's by marriage. Sometimes it's by family. Sometimes it's choices. A lot of people are in narcissistic churches because they had a narcissistic dad. And the abuse is normal to them. But they get broken, and this is what they look like. They're shattered, they're broken. And then we have another type of person. Now, this is from the grapefruit family. Some people are like this. They're bruised on the inside, but you can't tell because they have such thick skin. This, whatever it's called, it's a number 9. These are organic number 9s, you know. There was so much skin on this. I had bought 2 of them, and there was hardly any fruit in it. The peeling was so thick. And that's how some people are when they get hurt. They have a shell you can't penetrate. They don't trust. They don't want to know. They just don't want to, you know, a lot of people now, they don't like crowds. They don't like people. They don't want to be around anybody. And they're hard-hearted. So when we come through the fire, we have to make sure that we're not hard-hearted. Because when you're hard-hearted, you stop loving people. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? But when we get in situations and we get hurt, we put up this thick skin. Why? It's self-protection. I don't ever want to be hurt like that again. So we get all this flesh around us and we start acting all this. And you know, you can't really go forward because you don't trust anyone and you're hurt and you're wounded. And it might be a process you're going through. First you're broken, then you get thick-skinned. But eventually we have to be bouncing back. We got to bounce again. You say, I can never trust again. I can never go. Oh, yes, you can. Because we've all, I could tell you my testimony of what I've been through, which I've never really shared with a lot. But God gives you the grace to go on and learn from the things that broke you. Learn the lessons that you need to clean out the ashes. Don't start a fire with the ashes still in it. You got to clean out. We had a guy staying in our basement once and didn't open up the fire chute, you know, and he started a fire in the whole house and he didn't clean out the ashes. The whole thing was a mess. It's just like, don't even start a fire if you're not aware of how to take care of the fireplace and you don't clean out the ashes. And, you know, is it the damper? Is that what they call it? They don't open that little chute so that the air can go in. And that's the way a lot of people are. They just are refusing to bounce back. They're just so wounded and hurt, and they don't trust churches anymore. Just like anything, there are good pastors, there are bad pastors. There's good policemen, there's bad policemen. There's good lawyers. Well, I don't know, I've met too many of them, but there's bad lawyers, right? Some of them are good, honest, hopefully. There's good doctors and bad. No matter what, there's good, and there's people that love God, and then there's bad. There's infiltrators on every level. I'm really learning a lot from a whistleblower on doctors. She was in the middle of stuff, and she's come out of it, and she's just blowing the whistle, and all the stuff is like, whoa, this is it. And it's hard to find truth now, because the whistleblowers that have come out of the stuff, people don't want to hear it, because they're in the matrix still. But when you're ready to hear truth, boy, you have to learn, I want to bounce back, so I have to maybe unlearn some things so I can learn again, so I can trust again, right? So there's egg people. They're the broken, unable to bounce back, just like Judas. Judas was broken. What did he do? He went and hung himself. Think about that. Judas, he went and hung himself, and he ended up in the potter's field. Now, the potter's field in Matthew 27, the priest took 30 pieces of silver. Because Judas, remember when he found out that, wow, he didn't want to betray Jesus, he repented and he wanted to go back to the chief priests and he wanted to give him back that 30 pieces of silver, the betrayal money. It was paid. They didn't want it. They said, that's blood money. So what did they do? They bought a field, the field of blood. And it was blood money that they took and they bought a field to bury strangers in. And to this day, it's called Potter's Field. Egg people stay down. They give up. And they stay locked in a chamber of the victim mentality. Now, just because you've been raped, molested, betrayed, whatever it might be, and you were a victim, you've been a victim, you still have to get rid of that victim mentality, because that's not who you are. Something happened to us. Something happened to you. It was a part of your life. But if you stay in that chamber of victimization, you'll start getting into self-pity. You'll start getting thick-skinned. You won't be able to find where God wants you to go in this hour. And we need connection. We need the right people in our life, right? So they don't want to get up. Egg people don't want to get up because hope deferred makes the heart sick. And, you know, there's probably nothing worse than losing one of your children. My mother's mom lost all of her children before she died, except for one. She lost all three of her daughters at a young age, my mother too. My mom was 44 when she died, and her sisters, I think, were even younger. And it's not normal for a mom to see all her children die. But she had someone, she had a child she still had. You still have to go on for what's left, what remains. Strengthen that which remains. Is if you're only focusing on what you lost, you won't get up again to help what you have left. So these setbacks. Now, a victimized person, a victim is someone who is abused and misused and traumatized. And unfortunately, I see this a lot in churches right now. I don't know if we're going to do another teaching on narcissistic pastors or leaders when narcissism comes to church, but it's there. I mean, it is there, and it needs to be exposed. It's never fun exposing things, but the truth does set you free, and you don't go back to that kind of a situation. You learn, you regroup, and you go forward. Don't keep going to the same situations that have maybe a different leader, but he's still doing the same thing, right? Some of these evangelicals, they're not preaching. They're not telling you what's really going on. They're not preparing people for the things that are happening in our world, the new systems that are in place. And many of the politicians, just like in the Bible, have been bribed. They've been bribed. They're taking offers and they're doing things just like nothing changes. The same things happen. So a victim is someone who is abused, misused, and traumatized. It can be mentally or physically, and they're taken advantage by someone. Now, the word victim comes from the Roman temples, where the animal was sacrificed on the altar, and that victim was called a victima, or that word comes from the word victima. So when we say victim, someone has been sacrificed on the altar of someone's lust, someone's greed, wickedness, or selfishness. I remember teaching this back many, many, many years ago. And one of my security people at the time came and said, I had to forgive my grandfather. He molested me, and I've never told anyone. People go through stuff, and they don't know how to navigate, especially if it's someone you're supposed to trust, and they abuse that trust. You become a victim. And how she overcame that, she forgave him, but she also went into a situation where she could help children, right? So people go through stuff all the time that they don't want to talk about. But I was in the ministry so long, I'd hear stories. Some of the ladies were quite old, and they said, I've never told this to anybody in my life, how I was molested, how I was raped, how I was abused in my childhood. And as a result, they never really got free from it because it was like a shame that they never, ever came out of. But they were a victim on somebody else's altar of lust, greed, wickedness, or selfishness. And right now, I think people in the world are victims of very greedy governing powers. People that want to, just like in the Bible, in the New Testament, the governors, the political, the Herods, all these different things, they make victims of people everywhere. Tamar was a victim of Ammon's obsession and lust. Tamar was one of the saddest stories in the Bible. She was beautiful. She was David's daughter. And Amnon was a half-brother, and he was obsessed with her beauty. He was obsessed with her, and he wanted her until he molested her, raped her, and then threw her out, and she was a victim. It was so sad. It's one of the saddest ones in the Bible. So she was a victim on the altar of Amnon's selfishness. He was used to getting his way. Some people don't know how to take no for an answer, and he was going to get what he wanted, hook or crook. And so here Tamar was a victim. Then King David, what he did, and this is what happens to so many people, especially in the church. When you go to tell and someone's abused you, they protect the abuser and cover things up. That's what David did. He protected Amnon instead of Tamar. 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 22 is that story when you want to go in it. That's a tragedy. And tragedies happen in the world. And that's why you don't know what people are going through. We need to be kind to people, especially in this hour of hatred and division. People are going through things. They're going through loss. People are losing their jobs left and right. They're just being let go for many, many different reasons. And places that should be safe, churches that should be safe. Sometimes you go and you ask for prayer. Instead of people keeping that a secret, they use it later against you. They weaponize the very things that you told them in private. They weaponize it against you. It's the world that we live. I want to share this. I got a lot of cards today. Thank you so much. And this week, and this was an email, and I just kind of wanted to share parts of it, of someone that got back up. Because sometimes you're ashamed to give your testimony, all of it, because you're like, I can't believe I fell for that, or I'm embarrassed that I'm going through this. But we overcome by the word of our testimony, don't we, in the blood of the Lamb. She said, I'm still listening to you. You helped me come out of a 39-year-long abusive marriage to a malignant narcissist preacher, a snake, and I know who they were. They are. You helped me navigate out of the Word of Faith and the NAR. What is the NAR? It's the New Apostolic Reformation, which they say doesn't exist, but it's just the phony baloney prophets and the apostles running around acting like they're gods, and that they're always hearing from God, and they have the formula for you to hear from God, and the formula how you can prophesy. Anyway, you helped me navigate out of the Word of Faith and the NAR. I will be forever grateful for you. And then she gave me an update, and I just thought that is a testimony of someone that got up. Someone that got up out of a 39-year abusive marriage, and she had the strength to go forward and go on. The rest of her testimony she gave, it's an update. That's an overcomer, and that's what God wants us to be. We have to overcome. Regardless of what comes our way, we have no control sometimes of the things that happen to the people that we love, to things in our life. But an overcomer is one who gets knocked down in Revelation 3:2, but he gets back up. Hold fast which thou hast. Be watchful and strengthen that which remains that are ready to die. Because when you get broken like that egg and you get shattered and you get hurt, you can't focus sometimes on what you have left. All you can focus on is what you've lost. And there's a testimony, a true story. In 1952, the Olympics were special to a young Hungarian boy. He stood in front of a target because of his perfect right hand and right eye coordination. He hit the target time after time. He won a gold medal in shooting for himself and for Hungary. 6 months later, he lost his right arm. 4 years later, the Olympics were in Melbourne, Australia. He was there. This time, he used his left hand, and he hit the bullseye again and again. He won another gold medal. He made a choice not to be limited by his limitations. When we get into self-pity and we get into bitterness, we just think, you know, sometimes how much money we lost in this business deal. How much better off we would have been if, what if. Strengthen that which remains. Move on, move forward. Just like he could have sat and felt bad, I lost my arm, I'm done. What did he do? He strengthened the other arm. And he strengthened and he won another gold medal. How encouraging that is to help us remember that we have to strengthen that which remains. So do we want to be like this egg? Broken, never get up again? Do you like my little egg? That's the only thing I don't like about eggs, when the shell gets in it. Or are you going to be a thick-skinned person? You're going to be hard to love, hard to find? There was a person I used to try to talk to, and I go, I know you're there somewhere, but I can't get past your walls. You have to trust again, right? And you got to bounce back. So let's pray. Father, we just want to encourage people today to get back up. People that they're mad at God. They're mad because things didn't happen the way they thought they would. So many times our plans are not what we expected. But Father, in the midst of all this disaster, in the midst of tragedy, in the altars of being a victim of someone's lust, greed, abuse, we ask you to help us rise again. Give us the strength, give us the courage to go through whatever we're going through, this illness, this problem, this financial situation, relationships that are toxic, abusive. Help us find hope that we can strengthen that which remains with your help, with your grace, that we will endure to the end. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. there are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.